Good day and welcome to the Business Success Network podcast. I'm Stacey Calder, founder of the Business Success Network and magazine, and we help you to grow you and grow your business. We want to get you as visible as possible online, offline, and through events such as networking, awards, and conferences. If you're sitting here and listening to this and thinking this is a great show, we are looking for guests to be part of it. We want to hear your story and we want to share your information with the public. We want you to be as visible as possible. So join us over at the Business Success Network UK on Facebook, join the community, get the support, become a cheerleader for other small businesses, and we'll see you very soon.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 5 of this Business Success podcast mini-series with the disabled entrepreneur community. Stacey can't be with us today. She owns the Business Success Network UK, and if you'd like to check that out, go to www.businesssuccessuk.co.uk, I believe. I'm Jo O'Neill. I'll be hosting today. I run Brightcap Business Solutions, which is a virtual assistant and social media marketing company. I'm also the community leader of the Disabled Entrepreneurs Community Group, which this podcast is taken from. It's our mini series. And today, my guest is Elizabeth Graney. Hello and welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us about you and your business?
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be here and speaking to you, Jo. So I have two businesses. My main business is Escape the Village, and I'm also a partner in something called my main business, Escape the Village. We basically provide marketing strategy and marketing support services to rurally based businesses. And that can be really as diverse as a private airstrip. And I was talking to someone yesterday who owns 12 light aircraft, right through to a farm shop or an equestrian yard or a food producer. And we sort of work on their marketing foundations, but also similarly to an agency, we can provide sort of SEO services, website development, and all those other sort of exciting things. The Garden Elf is a gardening business, strangely enough. And I do all the finance, the accounts and the marketing for that. And then my husband goes out and does everybody's gardens, make them look absolutely beautiful. And I won't tell you what our garden looks like.
I'll tell you what mine looks like. Mine's not been touched other than by neighbours who cut down my overgrown plants for me last year. It's a mess because I haven't been able to touch it for 2 years. It used to be so difficult. But yeah, people like that can just go make it pretty are amazing.
Absolutely. But I mean, I've had a corporate background for the last 10 years, but I've had my own businesses or been a manager in businesses sort of for about 30 years now. But things really came to a head last year. My disability and my mobility were really becoming a bit of a challenge. I was made redundant last year from my big corporate role. And I just thought, you know what, you don't need to do this. And I was always getting asked to sort of support people with their marketing anyway. And I was doing a lot of freelance work. So I just decided to go full time and literally found out at sort of 9:15, 9:30 one day that I was going to be made redundant by lunchtime. The website was up and I was going for it.
That is the way to do it. I mean, you know, it's like, well, I'll try something else then, especially if you've already got that background, you've already had that know-how. It isn't quite such a big step. But yeah, if you can't do the corporate job anymore, do it for yourself and work it around you.
Absolutely. And this way I can help, rather than help sort of a big national or international company, I can help lots of smaller companies which are really struggling to juggle everything. So yeah, it's much more satisfying, it's much more flexible, much more enjoyable. It's definitely a win.
Yeah, there is something special about getting small businesses seen, as that Stacey would agree with me as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Fabulous. So how long did you say you've been running your business?
Without The Garden Elf, we started 10 years ago. Escape the Village, we started on the 31st of October last year. That's when we went full-time with it. But I was doing some sort of freelance work before that for the last couple of years as well. So, yeah, but officially full-time last year.
And how has that gone? How have you found it?
It's a real roller coaster. It absolutely is. You know, my first big customer was actually my old HR director. Yeah. And I did some consultancy work for our old CEO as well. But actually, I think I've got an advantage because I'm already out there. I'm already known, especially in the local network and things. But it's still a struggle, you know, filling up that pipeline, getting people to sort of contract and the cash flow going positively. I invested a lot of my redundancy money into the business so I could have all the right systems, all the right software, new laptop, etc., right from the beginning. And yeah, so it has been a roller coaster, but I'm now at a point where, yeah, the pipeline's full and the sort of the contracts are coming in. But yeah.
Yeah, the important thing is always never stop marketing, because then your pipeline empties and you all of a sudden go, oh, no clients or nothing.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing that sort of the self-employed do, or new businesses do. They either don't put enough funding into marketing, or they do some, think, oh, we got some customers, yay. And then they stop and they service those customers and then they're like, oh, we've got no customers.
Yeah, so, where are the next ones coming from? No, you're meant to constantly be lining them up.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's not easy, but it's something we have to do as small businesses.
Definitely. And even marketing businesses need to do marketing. So, yeah, it's constant for us all.
Are they like social media managers that they love doing everybody else's but hate doing their own? I find that a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm getting quite disciplined now. I treat my business as I would do a client's business, basically. So they've got a slot in the calendar and I have a slot in the calendar. So my blogs are created, my social media is scheduled. Otherwise, yeah, I would be terrible, you know.
I have to keep a few months ahead of everything, or I will drop that ball. And picking it back up is really hard.
Absolutely. And I think also it's almost easier for us as marketing professionals to market somebody else rather than ourselves. You know, when you try to talk about your business or yourself, it can be really challenging sometimes.
It can, even if it's what you do for a living. You still think you're shouting about you, and that always feels unnatural, especially if you're British.
Absolutely. It's a very British thing, isn't it? You can't blow your own trumpet, can you? And I think that's something that I still feel uncomfortable with. But I think going to business awards, networking events, and just putting myself out there, it does get easier.
It does get easier. And instead going towards those, it will, especially if you're winning business awards, will boost that confidence of, no, I can shout about me.
Yeah.
And that's what we found recently in the community when we're saying, hey, come and join the awards. It's like, I don't think I deserve it. It's like, you're in business. You're still in business. You do.
Absolutely. I mean, over the years, I've entered a number of business awards and I really can't sort of shout enough about the benefits, because I've done them locally, regionally, nationally, and the PR that you can get from an award, even if you're just shortlisted or you're nominated, you know, shout about it. You know, you don't have to be a winner to actually get a benefit from it.
No, there's more benefit from being a winner, but just entering is enough. And it's amazing, sort of like the difference that can make.
Most definitely.
So this is a question that we ask to everybody who comes on the Business Success Podcast. What does business success look like to you?
Gosh, I think it's different for everyone. For me personally, though, there's sort of a couple of aspects. For me, it's being able to live the life that I want without stress. So that might be without financial worries. It might be without worrying I've got to work tomorrow, but I've actually just driven to Birmingham and back, and my body's not capable of doing that. It's about, if I want if the TV breaks, I can afford to get a new TV. It's not about living in a great big house and having holidays every month. It's just about being able to live the life that we want to live comfortably without stress, I think. The other thing, and it's something that I've just started doing again, but I've done previously, is the ability to give back. And it's a real bonus. So we support a local homeless charity, which is just so rewarding. For our sins, we go and sleep outside in December to support them. And then we've also just become the sponsor of our local country show. So we're going to have a stand there. We're going to be volunteering on the dog show bit, camping there all weekend. And it's just a little bit of what we can give back to our local community and things in some way. So I think those are the two aspects. It is that personal side of it for me and my family, but it's also being able to sort of spread a little bit of love.
Yeah, it's great when you can, and you're not worrying about things, and you're just going for the doggy kisses, really, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I get you. Yeah, that's definitely a good way to look at it. And yeah, success doesn't have to be the big house, the millions in the bank. It's
no, absolutely.
What makes you happy and comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been lucky enough to live in a big house, and I mean a very big house, but actually it's not all it's cracked up to be, you know. Quite literally, I know the people say it, it's a bit of a cliche, money can't buy you happiness. Yes, it can pay the bills, you know, and you get rid of that stress and things, but some of the richest people I've ever known have actually been the most miserable and most stressed and upset, and they don't have a proper relationship or anything. So for me, I just want to be able to do what we want to be able to do when we want to be able to do it. You know?
You need to make enough money so you're comfortable and can do what you want. At that point, you're happy because you're doing what you want, but without the stress of having to go, where's that money coming from to pay the bills?
Absolutely. I mean, this summer we're going off to car shows, we're going off to air shows, we're going to horse shows, and I've sort of scheduled it so I've always got at least a couple of days off afterwards so I know I can recover. And those aren't things that you can really do if you're working for someone else. You might have a day off to go to an event or something, and then it's straight back into work the next day normally. And my legs and my body don't allow me to do that these days.
Yeah, no, that's always the problem. I find it's like if I'm going somewhere, it needs to be a hotel. It needs to be two nights. And yes, a couple of days later, I'm going to feel it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I can come back fighting. But yeah.
Some self-care.
Pardon?
You just need to take that time for some self-care.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've learned the hard way, you know. I mean, I would go off to an air show for a day, by the end of it, almost be crawling, you know, along the floor, and then wonder why I had a complete crash, not just for a couple of days, but for a week or longer, and the pain wasn't going away or wasn't getting any less. And yeah, I've learned the hard way. So this is sort of like my pattern now. Don't stop me from doing what I want to do, whether that's on a scooter or sort of my crutches, but yeah, I just do it in balance.
Yeah, you've just got to find a way that works for you.
Absolutely. And I can afford to pay for a hotel now. So I can go away and stay at a hotel and enjoy some room service and a swimming pool and things.
Hey, this is Chris from the Amethyst Centre. We're on Ball Hill in Coventry, and we are an complementary therapy and training centre. We have four rooms available for complementary therapists of any persuasion to hire, and we also have an upstairs training room. We offer training in complementary therapies, things like Reiki, aromatherapy, reflexology, massage, that sort of thing. And also in coming up, we have training in beauty therapy, eyes, facials, lashes, spray tanning, all that sort of stuff. If you're interested in complementary therapies, then give us a call on 024 7644 0186 or hello@amethystcentre.com. Thank you very much, and we're happy to sponsor this podcast. Bye.
Welcome to Rise for Disability, the place where innovation meets inclusion, and you're invited. Health professionals, innovators, and the disability community unite. with over 8,000 delegates and over 300 stands across 4 events in the UK. From the latest tech and accessibility, sports that have no limits, and conversations that spark change, we are the place to be. In Sunderland on the 4th of July, Kent on the 10th of September, Milton Keynes on the 22nd of October, and Glasgow wraps up on the 5th of November. And it's absolutely free to attend. Grab your spot now by going to our website at risefordisability.com. And companies looking to be part of the movement, connect with us today to showcase your brand and solutions to a captivated audience. From north to south, where will we be seeing you?
So I did recently, we went to a hotel for the night and I had a massage the day before. And I find out which fibro, that is a really bad idea. I was in agony for days. I did enjoy my pedicure though.
And the pool. Well, yes.
And the pool. I always like a pool. But yeah, it's all about finding that balance and getting what you want to do, but realising to know your own limits and work with them rather than against them.
I think that's a real struggle, though. My daughter's going through a similar sort of timeline at the moment. At the end of last year, she was sort of diagnosed with POTS. And yeah, she's going through that struggle now. There's things she wants to do. She wants to go out with her friends. She wants to go off to car shows. But then, yeah, she's sort of bedbound for a while afterwards.
It's a really difficult lesson to learn. And if you've got something that's degenerative or progressive, you have to keep learning it and keep finding where your limit is. But so once you get it, it gets a little easier. But the first stages is really difficult. I do remember when, during the first lockdown, or just after the first lockdown, I was digging out a bed in the garden. My dad had recently passed and gardening was my way to stop thinking. Yeah. And I'd only just started the business, so I didn't have much to do. And I got about halfway down and all of a sudden my limbs just went, no more. And I was really upset that I couldn't carry on, because that was always the one thing. It's like, I'm not particularly healthy, but I've got strength and I've got stamina. And these days I don't.
Absolutely. And for me, I mean, I was always mega fit. I was in the army. I rode horses professionally. I swam at quite a high level as well. And I went from literally running, swimming and riding every day to sometimes not being able to get out of bed. And I had to mourn the old me and realise my new sort of boundaries. But we still got horses. We still go to shows. We still do different things. But yeah, it's a challenge, I think, especially at the beginning when you're learning what you can and can't do, or what you can do, or how you need to do things now.
Yeah, it's emotionally very hard. I think that's the point. But yeah, you do learn and you adapt.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to relearn and adapt, but it's what we do.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's a constant learning curve, isn't it?
It is. But we get there. So you told me where your business is, how it became to be, and what success looks like for you. So what are your future plans for your businesses?
Oh, gosh. The garden elf is really at satisfaction now. We're happy with it. We're not looking to build it anymore or grow it anymore. We're really picky about who we work with. And so that's a happy stage now. Escape the village, though. We've got lots of plans for the future. Sort of phase two. Come the summer, we're looking to launch some marketing courses. I've trained as a teacher. I've got my PGCE and I used to teach business and marketing at local college. So that will just come naturally to me. And I taught face to face and online previously, but this is just going to be online. It will enable me to sort of share some of my knowledge, some of my skills with people that can't afford to work with me one-to-one, but still need access to that support. But it also means I don't have to drive all over the country doing it. My daughter, who helps me out sort of part-time with events and things like that, she's going to join me and do a business apprenticeship. So that's really exciting. We're looking forward to that. She's already sort of started some bits and pieces as well. And then sort of a little bit longer term, where I'm hoping to build a bit more of a team. Yeah. So I've got a couple of people that work for me part-time, and also I'm working on my Chartered Institute of Marketing Fellowship at the moment, which is a bit heavy going, but actually that constant learning, that life learning, filling in the gaps in my knowledge is just going to help me with my business, to be honest, and it's going to help my clients. So that's a two-year thing. I'm already a member of the Chartered Institute of Marketing, so the next level is fellowship. And then finally, I think it's just being able to sponsor more events, get involved in more things, and just organically grow the business, really.
Fabulous. That all sounds amazing. I'm like, you're going to be really busy.
Yes. The plan is, though, with Izzy coming on board, that I can let go of some of the things that I'm going to be doing at the moment and things. So, yeah, she's going to sort of take on some things that I already do, which is going to free me up. Yeah. So, yeah, it is going to be really busy at first, especially when I've spoken to people about taking sort of staff on and things, especially at the beginning. You've got to dedicate a lot of time to them, get all your training in place, support them, develop them. So, yeah, there might be a few late nights there and maybe one or two extra painkillers, maybe. But, you know, but in the longer term, it's going to be really worth it. And yeah. I don't think it was meant for this, but she's got a really great understanding of the rural market. She's lived on farms with us. She's grown up with horses and chickens and goodness knows what else. But she also brings another unique sort of set of experience to the business. She's really into her cars and her aviation and things like that, so it's really going to open up the business in other areas potentially as well.
Fabulous. It all sounds wonderful. Right, do you have a top tip in either life, business, or whatever you want?
I think I've got two things, but they overlap business and personal, really. The first one is it's absolutely vital just to surround yourself by positivity and support. You will get dragged down. I found particularly you will gain friends, you will lose friends. There will be people that will be naysayers, especially around your disability. You know, it's like, oh, I'm tired today. Yeah, okay. Or my knees hurt. Well, yeah, okay. But surrounding yourself around people that understand, surrounding yourself with people that have been there and done it, and try and get yourself a mentor. You know, that it's brilliant. Someone for accountability, someone that you can go to and just ask a question. I go out for coffee once a month with my old CEO and my old sales manager, and we just bounce off of each other. And that is really good. And I really look forward to that. It's really positive. We have a great laugh. We have coffee and big portions of cake. Oh, it's compulsory, you know, the cake. It's compulsory. So that's number one. I think that works in business and sort of your personal life. And the other one is really, someone said this to me when I was first diagnosed with fibro, and then I got diagnosed with arthritis, and I've had brittle asthma for gosh years. But someone first said this to me when I was diagnosed with fibro: one step at a time. You know, just keep going. You've had a bad day, fine, you know, it's behind you. And look to the future and just keep going, especially when it comes to business. Okay, we've all got to pay the bills, but you know, you never know when that next breakthrough is going to come. So if you start off part-time and then go full-time, if you start off with it as a side sort of a hustle, great. But just keep going, because you never know what's around the corner, really, do you?
Very true. And as somebody on the podcast said yesterday, it's like, if you do need to go rest, are the things you're putting off, is somebody going to die because you're not going to do it? Or can you do it when you're feeling better another day? And that's one I found really hard to learn, because I've always been a bit of a workaholic. And fibro means now when my body says rest, I need to rest. And it's been, I was always very apologetic. It was like, I was going to do this today, but I can't, I'm really sorry. And because I've been open with my clients of I am chronically ill and it does affect me, they're like, yeah, go rest, it's not urgent.
Absolutely. And I mean, I had a client the other day and we had to postpone our meeting. I've had a networking event where I couldn't go because I had a migraine. And I said, I'm really sorry. I don't think it's sensible for me to come today. I'll catch up with you next time. And and people do genuinely understand. And I've now developed my entire calendar, you know. I tend to sort of work early, work through to maybe about 2-3 o'clock, maybe have a couple of breaks, but then I'll stop because I know that's my limit now. If I'm feeling up to it, I might go and write a blog in the evening, but I know by mid-afternoon I need to have a break.
And I then have a nap by mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
And then I'll get back to it if I'm feeling up to it.
Yeah, and that's it. And if you need a break, you have a break, but it's just keep going, you know.
Yeah, so long as you're moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's about being sensible, I think. And by keep going, it doesn't mean you need to push through pain. It doesn't mean you need to push through deadlines and things like that, you know. It's just about being steady, you know, and having a plan, and tomorrow's another day. And yeah, just one step at a time is definitely the way. And if you're sort of persistent and consistent with what you're doing, okay, it might take you a little bit longer to get there. But you're going to get there all the same. And I think it's really important not to compare yourself. You know, don't go comparing yourself to someone who's already been in business for 10 years.
Yeah.
Don't go comparing yourself to someone who's maybe disabled, but at a different level to you or on a different journey to you. I mean, I'm just as guilty as everyone else. Oh, my God, I'm so guilty. You know, I say, oh, I look at someone, I go, oh, they're doing so well. But then I actually stop myself and I think, well, you know what? That's on Facebook. That's on Instagram.
Okay. Or is it social media they're doing well?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know what struggles they've got going on. I don't know whether they're sort of talking the talk, you know, and that's it. You know, I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So I've sort of, yeah, you've got to focus on yourself, your own goals, but surround yourself with that support, definitely.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that one. It's vital. Otherwise, you're just in your own head, and that's probably not a good idea. Thank you for coming to join me today. Where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere. I was once said that. Gosh, you're everywhere. My website is escapethevillage.com. You can find Escape the Village on all major social media platforms near you. And if you look me up on LinkedIn, it's really easy. Elizabeth Graney. There's not many of us. I think I may be the only one. If there's another one, I've yet to meet them. So, yeah, reach out. I'd really love to connect with everyone. And, yeah, let's continue the chat.
Fabulous. Yep. Reach out to Elizabeth. I'm sure she'll be happy to help you if you need it or just have a good chat with you like she has with me today. You can find our Facebook community under in the groups of Facebook. Search for the Business Success Community for Disabled Entrepreneurs or head over to the Business Success website, which is businesssuccess.co.uk. Thank you very much for joining me, Elizabeth. And you can find all her links in the show notes. Thank you very much. And we'll see you again in the next episode.
So, you've been listening to the Business Success Network podcast. I hope you have enjoyed this episode. Please do go and check out all the other episodes that we offer. We've got a great range of guests that have gone before us and that are coming up. And if you want to get involved in the Business Success Network, you can find us at www.businesssuccessnetwork.co.uk. There's loads of ways you can get involved, whether that's from contributing to our business magazine, or whether that's getting involved in the podcast. We are here to showcase your expertise and help you to grow you and grow your business.